Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
We started on Wednesday trying to explore fundamental laws for fulfilling our ministry, the rules we must comply with, the regulations we must adopt in order for us to fulfill our ministry. Paul said to Archippus, he said, take heed to the ministry that you have received from the Lord that you fulfill it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. So that you have received the ministry does not guarantee that you will fulfill it. He said, take heed to the ministry that you have received and do it skillfully. Pursue it intelligently that you may fulfill it. So God is leaving you and I with a responsibility to fulfill the mandate of His on our lives. I know you are seated here either that God has already called you to ministry, or you are perceiving that there's a calling upon your life. And I know a number of us are already doing amazing things in our various ministries. But unto whom much is given, much is required. So if God has assigned you to be over a church of 2,000, and you are over a church of 1,000, you have not fulfilled your ministry. Everybody may be clapping for you, but much more than that is expected from you. So what you are doing here in this meeting is to see how to adapt those rules and regulations that will help us fulfill and fully deliver His mandate in our lives. So we have checked out on 10 laws up till date. And it's been amazing. We began by talking about the law of total abandonment. The law of total abandonment. We have left all and we have followed thee. What shall we have then? Until you are totally abandoned to your calling, you cannot fulfill it. Then we went on and talked about the law of absolute dependency on God. The law of absolute dependency. That is making God your only source for accomplishing His mandate in your life. God as your only source. God as your only source. And then we went on and discussed also what we call the law of focus. We went on and discussed the law of spiritual impact. And we discussed the law of mentorship. Amen. All that we did the first day. And the second day we ran through the next five. It was all awesome. There are rules. There are regulations that will help you arrive at your destination. If you don't mind them, then you are selling off your birthright. It takes a studious man to secure a glorious ministry. It says, study and you show yourself approved unto God. As a workman that will not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's very important. We went on and began to explore the various other laws We explored yesterday the law of diligence, the law of discipline, and I'm sorry, we also explored the law of spiritual impact. So today we will try to go on with two other laws, making them 12 altogether. Now, the tapes of the two last sessions are available for your edification, and they will make them available to you if you desire them at the studio, at the various stores. Now, what are the other laws we are looking at today? Amen. Only those who obey rules become rulers. Only those who comply with laws become lords. So for you to fulfill your ministry indeed, you must enjoy the laws of scriptures. Every law of scripture is a law of life. He said he has delivered us from the law of sin and death through the operation of the law of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. The next law we're looking at is the law of visionary, or the law of imagination. No matter your area of calling, what you cannot see today never becomes real in your life tomorrow. He said to Abraham, lift up now thy eyes and look northwards and southwards and westwards and eastwards, for all the land which thou seest, unto thee will I give it, and unto thy seed after thee. Now, many people have received visions from the Lord, but they are not able to perceive the extent of that vision. And if you are Abraham's seed, you are called to do the works of Abraham. Whatever will become real in Abraham's hand tomorrow is required to see it today. So the question is, what seest thou? What do you see? What future do you see in the ministry that God is giving to you? The Lord said to Jeremiah, what seest thou? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. He said, thou hast well seen, for we hasten my word to perform it. What you are not able to see, God is not committed to perform. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. What do you see? Now you see, God called him in chapter 1, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, I called thee. Now, after the establishment of his heavenly vision, he is called upon to visualize what he can see it become. We live in the dreamer's world. Without a dream, destiny is doomed. What you cannot dream, you will never dare. What you cannot dream, you never dare. It is the dreamer's world. Until you become a dreamer, no matter how heavenly your vision, it will be limited. The extent to which you can see is what determines what becomes of your vision. That's why we call it the law of visionary, the law of imagination. I've said many times that I'm not surprised today that we are where we are, that I would have been surprised if we are not there. Because I was walking in the reality of these years long before they began to manifest. Long before they began to manifest. I was walking in the realities of today, far behind yesterday. One day I was teaching in our church in Kaduna, 1984, and I was sweating. I was screaming. And I said, wait a minute. Don't think I am crazy. I'm speaking to crowds outside there, outside this small building that you cannot see. I was speaking to this invisible crowd outside there that you cannot see. That's why no matter how big our church is today, people will always be outside. People will always be outside. I saw multitudes when we were just a few. When I was screaming that way, we were less than 30. I was screaming. The microphone was very bad. I needed for those I can see outside to hear. Nobody inside here understood why I was screaming to an invisible crowd. And what I was saying in the invisible has become visible today. Has become visible today. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. Your calling notwithstanding, it is your sanctified dreams about your calling that determines its ultimate. Your sanctified dreams. Your sanctified dreams. The dreams that you dream out of scriptures. Though thy beginning be very small, yet thy later end shall yet greatly increase. That's what it says. So a dream is a spiritual requirement for creating your desired future. A dream is a spiritual requirement for creating your desired future. A dream is a spiritual requirement for creating your desired future. I've seen me talking to presidents and prime ministers long ago. 1986, I told the people, I said, Nigerian president will once come to the altar of this great church and said, praise the Lord. And they were all Muslims then. And everybody was wondering what will happen. Then one of the fellows that heard me say that in 1986 was in church the day the president of Nigeria came to the service. And when he was given the microphone, the first thing he said is, praise the Lord. And then she started crying where she sat, because she was there when I said it. 1986. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. A dream takes you into the reality of your future before you arrive there. I was in one country. A Muslim president was so excited that I came to his country during the Ramadan fasting period. He decided to come to service. He sat down in the service. When I say stand up, he will stand up. When I say lift your hand to Jesus, he will lift up his hand. Say, Jesus, I love you. We say, Jesus, I love you. Now you see what I'm talking about. It takes a sanctified dreamer to fulfill his ministry. It takes a sanctified dreamer to fully deliver the mandate of God upon his life. It takes a sanctified dreamer to make a foolproof of his ministry. One day we went to Warri for a meeting, and there was no flight to bring us back. So we drove to Benin to see if we could catch a flight. And then there was no plane. But there was a private plane on the platform. So I told my staff, I said, find out the owner of that plane. Ask whether he's going to Lagos. And if he's going to Lagos, ask him to create space for us in his plane, because our own is about to arrive. Hello? Because our own is about to arrive. Because our own is about to arrive. Bless God, it arrived under 1 year. He took us on his plane anyway, because I said to him, I said, by the time our own arrives, your own will become very old. Amen. What am I talking about? The future you cannot see, you never live in the reality of it. A dream is the mental picture of your future. That's very important. He said, and this they began to do, and now nothing can be refrained from them, which they had imagined to do. So your imagination is what determines your destination. Genesis chapter 11 verse 6. It is your imagination that determines your destination. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, So is he. So what you think determines what you take. Whatever is too big for your mind is too big for your hand. Whatever your mind cannot handle, your hand will never realize. So whatever becomes of your tomorrow begins with your mind. It begins with your mind. It begins with your mind. Some people are so busy thinking poverty that there is no way they can mistakenly stumble into prosperity. They think of poverty so much that poverty becomes their natural companion. Hear this. I was in the U.S. many years ago. I think about 18 years now. And a very interesting thing happened. After an opportunity to share in a particular conference, a man walked up to me and he said, "Bless God for your life. What needs have you in your ministry?" I reacted very violently. Our ministry has no needs. We only meet needs. I mean, his head and face and nose became very red. I didn't mean to insult him, but I can't identify with the thought of poverty. I can't. My royal mentality has overtaken me. I can't be made to think poor. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. The minimum seed we send to the various ministries we do today is $5,000 from here to the U.S. on a regular basis. The least we send to any of the places we send seeds to is $5,000. You can't think poor and mistakenly become rich. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I go to nations, they say, "Mr. President, we would like to see to meet with you." And I would tell them, "My schedule is very tight. I'm on a mission here. That was not arranged before, so it cannot be accommodated now in their nation." Because I'm full of that mentality of stewardship under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I can't sell off his precious time for anything that is not in line with it. As a man thinketh in his heart, until you can see a crown on your head, you never wear one. Until you can see a crown on your head, you never live to wear one. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When I talk about sanctified dreams, I want to see you set free from daydreaming. That is, you are Bible dreaming. You are dreaming your dreams from the Bible. You look to the north, the book of Genesis, and to the south, the book of Malachi, and to the east, from where the sun rises. And Jesus is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. And then the sun set in the book of Revelation. Whatever you can see, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, you are permitted to dream it. 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 That's what I call sanctified dreams. Dreams that are born out of revelations of the truth. Dreams that are born out of revelations of the Word of God. This is what my Bible says. "Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, men." So my commitment to my task qualifies me to sit before kings. So I knew, as I remain diligently, productively committed, I have a future of royalty. I'm not talking about idle dreams. I'm talking about spiritually responsible dreams. Now, as a committed tither for over 24 years in my life, there is not one day that my tithe is missing in God's account. So I could dream of an open heaven prosperity. So I'm not talking about idle dreams. I'm talking about spiritually responsible dreams. If you want to walk in the reality of kingdom prosperity, then you must walk in the reality of covenant prosperity. Doing your part and committing God to his own part. That's what makes it work. If you want to avoid shame in your ministry, he says study. He says study. He says study. Now I've been with you now 3 days. Each of the day has his specific notes. I was writing your notes last night between 3:30 between 3 and 3:30 a.m. in the morning. The note of what I'm supposed to share with you today. You can't be a sleeping drone and expect to be enthroned. No. So if you don't want to see shame, study. Study. That's the kind of sanctified dreams I'm talking about. What has God said is obtainable. And what has he said you must do to actualize it? When you do what you must do, God's integrity is committed to make it happen. Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen.
Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen?
Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen?
Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen?
Now that's very important. Sanctified dreams, revelation provoked dreams, spiritually responsible dreams, dreams that you are truly committed to making happen. That's the kind of dreams I'm talking about. There are many idle dreamers on the streets. There are many balloon dreamers on the streets. There are people who see themselves walking in prosperity without doing what makes people prosper. Those are all balloon dreams. Those are all idle dreams. Those are daydreams that never come true. Will you be responsible then? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we got married, a very loving father in the faith called us for counsel. We went to him for counseling. And he said to me, he said, David, what do you see your marriage become? We were not married yet, we were just about to marry. I said, I see an hitch-free marriage. He said, how do you say so? I said, well, we have been in courtship now for about 6 years. And it's been wonderful. Then he said to me, it is difficult to step on one another's toes when we are not close together. But when you live together, it is impossible not to step on one another's toes. So I said to him, I said, sir, me and you are sitting on the same coach in your house here. Why am I not stepping on your toes? Amen. I said, 2 reasons. I'm not blind. 2, I'm not wicked. He nodded his head. Now the truth is, we have enjoyed hitch-free marriage till date. And it's 22 years plus now. Nobody has had the opportunity to settle anything in our marriage till now. Because what you see today is what will become tomorrow. What the Bible says is love your wife as Christ loves the church. So don't document the faults of your wife. Forgive your wives in advance for what she will do wrong tomorrow. You live well. And he said to the wife, obey your husband in everything. He did not say that if your husband loves you. He said you obey your husband in everything. And without any prayer, you will win the love of your husband. Now he said to me, love your wife as Christ loves the church. No matter how disobedient your wife is, if you truly love your wife, she will become obedient. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
Very simple biblical logic. So hitch-free marriage is not for irresponsible Christians. Hitch-free marriage is not for irresponsible Christians. Some Christians' marriages are more stormy than unbelievers' marriages. Why? Because they are irresponsible. The wife has to chase after them for money for food. The children have to cry after them for money to go to school. They are just irresponsible. There are ministers who have storms in their marriage that unbelievers don't have because they are irresponsible ministers. Where they need to attend to things in the family, they are praying. Where they should attend to what the family will require, they are on their knees praying, pray, and God is saying, look, you will destroy your family by yourself on your knees. You destroy your family. Praise the Lord. Amen. Destiny is a race of responsibility. If you don't want to end up in liability, accept responsibility today. Now, finally, number 12. We spent so much time on that. The last and the most important of all for you and me to fulfill our ministry indeed is the law of love. The law of love. The law of love. If you like, call it the law of compassion. The law of affection. People came to the ministry of Jesus and they stayed there with him under his anointing for 3 days. And he said, now, brethren, the meeting is over. And everybody should start going. And then it occurred to him, they have been here 3 days. They may faint on the way as they go. Let's look for something to give them to eat. Give ye them something to eat. John chapter 6, verse 5 to 11. He said, I have compassion on these people. If you check the ministry of Jesus, it was always riding on the wheels of compassion. Faith can get things done. Hope can inspire people. But only love can impact them. Faith can get things accomplished. Hope can get them inspired. But only love can truly impact people. The three forces that rule destiny, they are the forces of faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love. The greatest of them all is love. He said, people don't care what you know. They only care how much you care. You can only impart people with love. You can inform them with faith. You can inspire them with hope. But you can only impact them with love. You can only impact them with love. And may I say this to us now? It is only impacted people that can impart the ministry they belong to. It is only blessed people that can bless the ministry where they belong. If the people you are pastoring are not impacted, they cannot positively affect your ministry. Only blessed people can be a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. Except people are blessed, they cannot be a blessing. And it is compassion that draws your soul out for another man. It is compassion that draws out your soul out for another man's blessing. Jesus was always moving with compassion. No wonder his ministry was constantly experiencing expansion. If you are operating by compassion, you will never lack expansion. If you are operating with compassion, you keep on enjoying expansion. Now, when our church first began, every time I sat down in that little church, and we are dancing and praising the Lord, and I noticed that someone is not moving well, is not praising the Lord well, I tell one of my associates, look at that man, number 3 from the row number 4, that man there on that road, on that side, get him for me after service. And then as we are praising the Lord, and I see somebody else who is looking rejected and dejected. I say, look at that woman, number 2 from that side. Get her for me after service. And I began to share with them out of the little that God gave to us. I began to share with them. And the church began to expand. Without a heart for people, you cannot attract them. You can pray till you die. They won't come near. they won't come near. You can't love people without them knowing. If you love them, they will know. If you love them, they will know. If you love them, they will know. Because love is a spirit. He said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind. So love is a spirit. It can be picked by people. Because human beings are spirit. And when you are born again, your spirit man is come alive. So he can always identify where love is. So only compassionate ministers end up with great ministries. People that lack compassion are not entitled to expansion. People that lack compassion are not entitled to expansions. So please notice that. This is very important. This is very important. Jesus had compassion on the people. He saw them as a sheep scattered without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. He had compassion on them. And he went in and began to heal their sick. Matthew chapter 14 verse 14. He had compassion on them. And wouldn't let them go free and faint on the way. And the miracles of multiplied bread and fish came alive. Compassion will always culminate in supernatural manifestations. You can't have compassion and lack miracles. It is the compassion of your heart that works out the miracles by your hands. John Alexander Dowie, a man of God called John Alexander Dowie. People were dying in his time. He was burying people in his church every day. He went into a closet. He said, God, enough. Lord, enough. Lord, enough. And suddenly, Acts chapter 10 verse 38 exploded in his spirit. And one of the greatest healing ministries in the history of the church was born. It is compassion that entitles you to unction. If you don't have compassion, you are not entitled to unction. A man came to me, had lost his kidney, and was on dialysis. He was dying. When I looked at him, his trouser was hanging on his body. He was a medical doctor. And he met me at the Faith Academy area. He met me at the other side of the campus. And when I saw him, I grabbed him. I never knew him before. He was a child of God. He's a believer. And Satan is trying to kill him with my eyes open. I grabbed him and held him to myself and pressed him hard on my body as if my lungs should go to his own. I said, Jesus, heal him. That was it. The kidneys came back to life. The kidneys came back to life. It is compassion that entitles you to the flow of unction. That entitles you to the flow of unction. There are too many compassionless ministers on the street. All they are looking for is themselves and themselves and themselves. They are out to use people, not to raise people. They are using people to meet their personal needs. That's why they are always in need. 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 A woman met me many years ago after service. And she burst into tears. I said, what is it? He said, what will we eat when we get home? We don't know. And I reached out my hand in my pocket. And I placed money in her hand. And I said, this hand will never know dryness again. 6 months after, everything has turned around supernaturally for her. She now had international business she was doing. And when she brought me an offering, it was a quarter of a million of Nigerian money. What we eat when you get home after service as a child of God, you don't have. I said, never. One day I was passing by the office area and I saw a vehicle parked. And I said, who brought this vehicle here? I was so insistent, I don't know why. It was not a spectacular car.
But it was an offering. Who brought this car here? Who brought it here? And then suddenly they came to me and said, well, it's one person that brought it. Who is the person? They said, it's a widow. A widow, call her for me. A widow dropped a vehicle as a seed for the expansion of the kingdom of God and was using motorbike to carry children to school. I said, woman, your seed is accepted by God. Just like Isaac was accepted by God and given back to Abraham. I said, take this car back. It is the beginning of a new walk of prosperity in your life. Listen to me. Under 6 months, the heavens opened. I couldn't imagine her carrying children on motorbike to school. Why should she drop a car in honor of Jesus? God told her to do it, and God told me what I did. The car was given back to her, that God has accepted it, and yet the heaven opened over her life, and her business began to flourish. Listen to me. Stop using people. If you won't stop using them, they will soon leave you. Stop using people. If you don't stop using them, they will soon leave you. It is only a heart for people that attracts people. If you don't have a heart for them, they will never be attracted to you. A leper came to Jesus, and Jesus had compassion on him and touched him, and immediately the leprosy was over. Immediately, the leprosy was over. Many, many years ago, I was ministering this in a village crusade. And a big boy, taller than myself, was deaf and dumb from birth. And the Lord said to me, place your tongue on his tongue. I never knew him. So I grabbed his head and reached out my tongue and touched his tongue. And immediately, Samuel's ears were opened and his tongue were loosed. Friends, if you don't have compassion, you will use scientific facts to keep that man deaf and dumb in his life. I know compassion provokes the flow of unction. I know compassion guarantees expansion. If you don't want your ministry to suffer stagnation, then let compassion rise in your heart. Let compassion rise in your heart. Love is not a gift. Love is a choice. Love is not a gift. Love is a choice. Love is not a gift. Love is a choice. It is the choice of the wise. The greater your love for God, the greater your destiny becomes. The greater your life for people, the greater your ministry becomes. Love is a choice. He says, Simon, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than this? Simon, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Lord, you know that you know that you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. So love is a choice. Love is a choice. The greater your love for God, the greater your future as a person. The greater your love for people, the greater your ministry becomes. There is no in-between out here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. We saw the heart of Paul the apostle. Can I have someone read that for me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8.
1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us.
If people are not dear to you, you can't go far in ministry. We are not just out to teach you. We want to pour our soul out to you, because you are dear to us. That's what it means. That's what builds great ministry. As a pastor of pastors, I've seen many pastors in our mission that don't have any heart for people. They are professional pastors. The things that they do eventually in their life show that they don't have a heart for people. They will hurt anybody to have their way out. You don't go far without a heart for people. He said, because you are dear unto us. We are not just out there to teach you. We want our souls to be transferred to you. We want what we see to become what you see. We want you to experience God the way we experience God. We want you to be higher than where we are. Let me tell you the secret of the blessedness of our people. Somebody asked me a question. A friend of mine in the ministry. He said, what is the secret of your prosperity in this ministry? Do you plant trees that bear money as fruits? And I smiled. I said, do you want to know? He said, yes. I said, when I bless the people, I bless them with the whole of my intestine. Everything inside me is blessing them. One day I said to God, God, if you will not bless these people, stop blessing me. If you will not bless them, stop blessing me. I don't want to be tagged a fake prophet. So a ministry where only the minister has been blessed is a fake ministry. It's a fake ministry. Now look at this campus. Our church only is responsible for it. They are a blessed people. So they can be a blessing. The length and breadth of this nation, wherever our church is mentioned, it is the church of blessed people. In the various nations of Africa where we are, wherever this church is mentioned, it's the church of a blessed people. Why? Because they are dear unto our hearts. May I tell you, whatever ministry you belong, if people are not dear to you, you never go far in ministry. If people are not dear to you, you don't go far in ministry. You have to wake up. 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 You heard what that boy said in his testimony. He said, when I lay down naked, I lay down on the bare floor before the altar in Faith Tabernacle, because God told me, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He said, lay down here. He gave me that command about 3 years ago. Lay down here, and whatever I put into you, those who believe in it can draw from it. So as I lay down on that floor, an invisible hand slapped him. He was born, he was deaf and dumb 3 years. I mean, after 3 years of age. Could not hear, could not speak. As I lay down on that floor, he said he also lay down. And then someone slapped him. And then a cool breeze went through his ears. The tongue was loosed and the ears were opened. There is nothing they have that I need. They are the ones who need what I have. So let me give it to them. I don't want them to have it when I'm dead. Let them have it now. Let them be greater than me now. Let them see God greater than I see him now. Let them touch God more than I touch him now. That's where my heart is. Now listen to me. That will give you access to unlimited expansion. That may not be modern day ministry. That is Bible based ministry. Do you really have a heart for the people? Or are you taking advantage of them? You are the best one to answer that question. Now, when you have made a choice to love, the Holy Ghost empowers you to love more and more. He said, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Romans 5:5. The love of God is caused to explode by the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to pray, Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to explode in my heart more than I've ever known. I want the people I minister to be dear to me. Cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Holy Spirit,
cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart. Cause an eruption of the love of God in my heart. The love of God that will spread out to people. The love of God that will spread out to people. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. Cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt afresh in my heart. Holy Spirit, cause the love of God to erupt in my heart afresh. In Jesus' name. I see you stepping into the realms of unlimited expansions. I see your ministry being ushered into the realms of unlimited expansion. I see your ministry being ushered into the realms of unlimited expansion. God has no problem walking if there's no one there stealing his glory. So it takes meekness to experience true greatness. It takes meekness to experience growing greatness. It takes meekness. Dr. Peter is here today. Please come in, doctor. He's one of the greatest ministers in America today. Pastors a church 8,000 strong and has ministries in 40 nations. And he's sitting down here quietly ever since he came. Your greatness is just beginning. The greatness of your ministry is just beginning. He's coming here with three people on his team, making four that he came along with, and sat down there. And as I saw you sitting down there, the Lord said for me to tell you that your expansion is just beginning. Your expansion is just beginning. Now, there are folks who pastor 1,000 people in America that you can't see. If you go to where they are, you can't see them. The security is too much. That's why they are where they are. You are blessed. The hand of God upon you will become stronger by the day. I'd like you to know I love you. I love your spirit.
It's been a great honor for us to be here this few days for Possess Your Possessions with the man of God that the Lord has blessed all of us with. And it's been a divine connection and a divine appointment that the Lord used to send us here to stretch us and expand us. Every Sunday morning, we confess in our faith declarations that we're going to see the 50,000 member mark. We're not in a large city, but God has blessed the church with 8,000. And we wanted to come and be associated with greatness in the kingdom, in a humble man of God that the Lord has raised up to be an example and an inspiration and encouragement to all of us. I love him very much. I feel a kindred spirit already. And I know that the Lord is going to continue to bless this ministry as it blesses all of us in the world. God bless you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big, big hand. Amen. How many ministries are from outside Nigeria here? Please, ministers from outside Nigeria, would you stand to your feet? Whatever you have seen God do here, I see duplicated in your various nations. Wherever God has sent you, I see the same signs that you have seen here beginning to erupt in your various cities and nations in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. Please give our foreign guests a big, big hand as you take your seat. Amen. You shall not suffer any setback anymore in your ministry. Your family shall no longer experience any setback in life. Whatever you have seen and desired from this place, I see it go back home with you as a testimony. Rise to your feet as we close. Lift up those hands and bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Celebrate Jesus.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerskinandland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kinan Land, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Ota. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sundays, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.